Hello, everyone. Let's wait a couple more minutes for more people to join. We have packed agenda today, so I will start exactly at 10:00.
Sounds good. I can take notes, Magda. That way we can just start when you're ready.
Thank you so much.
As usual, I'll need to drop at 9:30 for another meeting.
Okay, thank you. I don't think we have ECS specific topics today, but we do have topics that are of importance for consortia. So if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me after the meeting.
Will do. Thank you.
Thank you. So it's a top of the hour. There are only four of us, but I will let's maybe wait a couple more minutes and maybe a few more people will join.
Magda, I'm not seeing the Belisig listed in this list of special interest groups on the wiki page. Do we have a home page where I could access the agenda? If so, could you put that in the chat?
Yes, we do. Let me do this shortly. Can you see the agenda, the meeting agenda?
I can now, yes.
Okay, and I will put the link to the bulk edit and list up Bella
Okay.
home and.
If you could put that URL in the chat, then I can just go right to it on my end.
Yes, I'm trying to do this, but I'm getting
Oh.
so many pop-ups that I'm trying to close.
Oh,
Hold on,
right.
give me 1 second.
Sorry. Oh,
But
okay. All right. Well, Kathleen has already posted the link to the agenda, so I can. Okay, there it is.
okay, and
I'll find my way.
I added the link to the home for Bella Group. Thank you,
Wonderful.
Kathleen. And I think we have a little bit more people, like our normal group 12. And I'm going to dive into the agenda because the agenda is packed, and I really need your feedback on several issues. So I'm going to start right away. First, please add your name to the attendees list. I left the note about the Christine Tobias retiring from the prior meeting. I don't know if we found if anyone has volunteered to take over from Christine Amanda, do you know anything about that?
Not that I'm aware of. In the last documentation meeting, I can't remember if I was out of town or if it was canceled, but I didn't, there wasn't a previous meeting or either I wasn't there, but I will check again. I've been trying to recruit somebody from my own institution to do it. I'm like, look, we can work together on this. Of course, that may not have been a selling point to some people.
Thank you. I will be repeating this until we find volunteers, a volunteer or volunteers to keep up with the documentation of list up and bulk edit. I think it is the best way to learn the application thoroughly
And I
by
mean, and I could do some of the list app maintenance stuff, but since I'm in metadata, I'm not on the user side. So it's definitely more important to find somebody that can do the user side of bulk edit documentation.
Thank you. Before I move to the bulk edit section of the meeting, is there anything else anyone would like to bring up? Any questions, comments, concerns? Okay, then let's move to bulk edit Trillium development progress. So this is the Kanban that I have shared with you in the past. We have only three features that are bulk edit related, directly bulk edit related, and the enhancement that contains also several bulk edit stories. As you see, we are in the progress with all of them. But the Trillium bulk edit performance is almost complete. We have a couple of stories that are blocked and working on the blocking stories. For the creating and managing bulk edit profiles, we are over the hump. The problem we were facing was that we needed to refactor some of the bulk edit form so that we can reuse the same components while creating profiles. And today I would like to talk about a feature that Firebird took over as Firebird. This is the name of the development team. And the Firebird took over for Trillium. That is to cover additional fields in Query Builder, the Query Builder that is being used by a bulk edit and list application. And we will spend a significant amount of today's meeting talking about this feature. Before I do that, I would like just to show quickly where we are in the with the profiles. So if you navigate to settings, you can see that the bulk edit is here. The option for bulk edit is here. We have the second pane with populated previews of record types that are currently supported. However, if you select, we don't see any profiles yet because this is the part we are working on. That should be completed this week. By the end of this sprint that ends on Friday, we should be able to create a new profile, view existing one, and hopefully edit. And we are concentrating right now on the item profiles. So when we complete the entire cycle for item profiles, meaning setting up, profile creating, editing, deleting, locking, and using it in the bulk edit job, we will move to other record types. Here is a quick review of the stories for profiles. I added the numbers. Unfortunately, sorting is not that great. So we are working on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and then 9. And once we are done with this, we will switch to other record types: holdings, folio instances, the mark instances, and users will be the last one. Any questions on this? Then I'm going to move to the main purpose, main part of today's meeting. This is the feature for adding repeatable fields to the Query Builder. The work was partially done in prior releases for repeatable fields with predefined values. Those predefined values is, for example, languages field in instance, statistical code with in instance holdings and items. What we do in scope of this feature, we will support the fields that have free text entry that are repeatable, and that would be, for example, series field or administrative notes in instance holdings or items records. We will also change the operators that are currently supported for records with predefined values, because the one that are implemented are inconsistent with the searches in inventory, even though they have the same naming, and also do not provide option for searching on the one field value. So, as I said, we will cover the which field will be queried. We will define the list of a field that can be queried and which one only part of the results display. And the supported operators for free text values will be equal, not equal to, contains, start with, is null and empty. For predefined values, they will be slightly different because they will also include in and not in, since they will allow multiple selection but will not support contains and start with, because for predefined values, user is looking for the entire value of the field only. And the other one is true and false. And an example for instance nodes where we have the staff only flag, and for those fields, we will be supporting equals, not equal, or is null and empty. And I should have removed this possible support of wildcard search. This was on our list. We hoped to do that. I know we will run out of time, and that functionality will be moved to the umbrella release and will be addressed in the query builder handling repeatable fields part 2 UX prod 4.8.15.9. As I mentioned, we will remove an intuitive field operators, contains all, contains any, not contains all, and not contains any. And we'll also provide a migration scripts for the lists that may already use those operators. And the obvious part is the UI, the query builder UI will be updated to accommodate those changes. Before I dive into more details, I would like to walk you through some screenshots, some mocks that Kimi was kind to provide. We have those mocks for instance holdings and items. For the time, because we have a limited time, I will just walk you through instance records. The behaviors is similar for other record types, and also you will get the picture how other properties will be handled. And please stop me at any time. I'm not clear on what I'm discussing. So here is the first change that will happen in the query builder. There will be option the field added for instances, administrative nodes. It will be also added for holdings and items. And there will also be nodes. Nodes will be separated for each sub field, which is node, node type, and staff only. Here are the mockups for supported operations. For administrative nodes, we have equals and followed by the free text entry, not equal to, contains, starts with, It's null and empty. For, and this is an example how, what are the supported value for null, nor in, for is null or empty. This is already existing functionality. For the nodes, we have the same because we are operating on the free text value equals, not equal to, contains, starts with, is not an empty. For the node types, the behavior will be slightly different because the node types is a predefined value. The options, the values are coming from the reference data that is defined in the inventory settings. So if the user selects to build a query with the node type, then it will contain operator equals, and then the list of the supported node types. Please note that at this time you can select only one node type, and that's the same for not equal to. When you select option in, it allows for multiple selection. Then you can see there are multiple options are selected here. This was node types. And this is quick for staff only. User select field staff only, and we have equals, value true and false, not equal to, again, true and false, and it's null on empty, true and false. Once the query returns value, the results are displayed in the column administrative notes is added to the preview of the record that match the search criteria. So on the screen, you see the one column for administrative note. Please note that if there are multiple administrative notes, they will be separated by a pipe character. If for instances we are creating the instance notes, we are creating the subtype table, similar to how it is being rendered in Bulkedit. Actually, it is not how it is done in Bulkedit right now. But basically, this is the subtable that contains node types, node, and staff only flag. And there is one more that I would like to walk you through the subtable. So here is the subtable again. And here is the example with the available options for querying. So those are the mockups. As I mentioned, we have mockups for instance. This is what I showed, holdings and items as well. Are there any questions?
I'm going to throw a question in the chat. I don't know that it needs to be discussed, but if somebody knows the answer or can explain it to me in chat, that'd be great.
Contains and wildcard. Okay, this is a good question and actually a perfect segue to supported operators.
Okay, cool.
I have created a page. I will add the links to the chat as well for those who want to review that later. And I have also provided some generic examples how it will be working. So for predefined files, fields, our languages and statistical codes, this is where we have the value predefined, and we cannot search partially for the value. So we have only equals and not equal. And in operator, which will allow user to select multiple values and not in, and null is null or empty. It will be always fa false if there is at least one value. So this is an example. I think it's relatively straightforward. I don't know if you want me to walk through you through all these steps. I think this is important part that contains the old operators, contains any, not contains any, contains all, not contains, and is null and empty. And what is the new operator? This is something that we need to take into account for migration script for those lists that already exist and use the existing operators. And here is the example of the free text fields and contributors names or contributors in instance record is an example and administrative node as well. And I have examples here for contributors, what it matches or not. So those matches and start with and contains. And I think, Vivian, that refers to your question. Those operators are operating on the entire, those are the string operators. So, for example, if we are looking for equals, then the entire value of one field needs to match. If, for example, we have an instance with two contributors, and if we put operator equals and the equals contain Stuart James with commas and with the dates, then that will match. However, if we select equals and only Stuart James, that will not return the match. Contains is again search, the string search. We are comparing string with a string. So if you are putting the entire string, it will obviously work for contains, but you can also put the Stuart James or Stuart or even James or even the birth and the dates. That will match. However, you have to preserve the punctuation that is in original field. And the same is true with start with. We are starting from the beginning of the field. That functionality would be so much more user-friendly if we had a wildcard because we could replace all those punctuation or things that we are not sure with wildcard. It's on our roadmap. However, it will not be a part of the Trillium release. Any questions, comments?
I just answered my own question in the chat.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
GR star Y returns both gray with an
Yes.
A and gray with an E. Yeah.
Unfortunately, in Trillium, you will need to do two separate searches. We will work on wildcards for the next release.
I will go ahead and ask then, when wildcarding does come in Umbrella, I have been told in the past by folks at EBSCO that wildcards have to be used at the beginning or end of a string, that you can't put a wildcard in the middle of a string in the way that I've done in the chat. Is that accurate?
I don't know who did you talk, but I disagree with that. You can put wherever you want. However, you have to be aware of the fact that it is the wild card. Is wild card equals contains starts with those are the operators that are very resource greedy, meaning it requires a lot of computing power to get the records. So wherever you put it, be prepared. It may take a little bit longer to get the results. When you talk about the start, the adding wildcard in the beginning or end, I'm not sure if this was related to inventory search because inventory uses a slightly different engine, search engine than FQA, and that the behavior is different. I don't think we will have such limit for Query Builder. You should be able to put your wildcard wherever you want, just to be prepared that it takes performance.
Good news. Thank you.
That will have imp performance impact. Any other questions? Then let's go back to the agenda because I think I went over. No, there's one more thing. Sorry, I have forgotten to show you this page, and I will also put this in the chat. Because one of the things for the future, it is okay. So what fields are we covering? I have a review. Entities that are currently supported by Query Builder and come up with the list of the repeatable fields, dividing them into predefined fields and then repeatable fields by the record type instance holdings and then with the acquisition and user records. There is a lot of those fields. I'm specifying here what operators will be supported. And for fields in inventory, repeatable fields like alternative titles, for example, or electronic access or contributors, one field consists of several subfields, and those subfields may have different operators depending on the data type that they are supported. So, for example, the alternative title type is predefined and it comes from the references. Alternative title is pre-entry. And the same is for contributors. Classification, we will be talking about classification shortly. Electronic access identifiers, we will talk about that too. Nodes. Parent instance preceding titles, physical description, publication frequency, subjects, series, succeeding titles. I'm happy to mention that on the holdings record, we will add an additional two nodes. We will add electronic access, former identifiers, but also the holding statements. A holding statement for supplements and for indexes as well. Those are the fields that were being asked frequently. And on the item records, it is notes, as I mentioned, electronic access, former identifiers, and your caption. On as you see, the ticket, there is a column JIRA. And those have a corresponding JIRA ticket. For a field for acquisition, I didn't put any JIRAs because most likely those will be covered by in umbrella leaf, and the same with users. With users, we may add department, but that is still to be determined. Right now, we're already adding 37 fields. So I think that will make a huge difference in the in the query builder, and considering that out of those 37 fields, most of them are contain multiple subfields, the number of fields that can be queried will significantly increase at the end of Trillium. Any questions on that, what I just discussed? Then I will move to the to querying classifications and querying classification and identifiers, especially the normalization part of it. I'm adding a link to this document in the chat. I would like to show you how this search will work. Please note that this is a string search. We didn't do any normalization, and I would like not to do any normalization in scope of Trillium because we are just running out of time. So here is the example how the LC classification would work. Let's assume we have the LC classification for, I think this is Africa countries, and one of the African countries, I think it's Egypt. And so this is how the search will work. If we select equals operator, obviously the entire value will match. It will match also the search that is case insensitive. So all the letter can be lowercase or uppercase, or it can be a mix. We will also remove the leading spaces and leading and trailing spaces, and will return the match. However, if there is only a partial value, so for example, no year is provided, the record will not be found. At the same, if the internal spaces are removed, the record will not be found. And these are two examples of removed spaces. And if internal punctuation is removed, the match will not be found. Any comments on this behavior from anyone? So my question basically is, do you see the value if we don't implement normalization in the query builder?
Magda, when you say that, sorry. I do find value in being able to find exactly the thing with the punctuation and the anomalies that you outlined, for example, right? Like, especially with classification numbers, sometimes you need to be able to find the ones that you want to fix, for example. And they can be then wrong, right? Like they may have lowercase, and that's exactly what you want to find. So are you saying if I do matches equals a DT60 where the DT is lowercase, I would find the ones with the lowercase, but I would not find the ones with the uppercase, right?
No, I'm saying you will find, so the case, the search is case insensitive.
Ah,
So
okay.
if you put this is what you have in the upper with the green shows what will match the search. The below shows that something if the search text is as in this column, that will not be returned. So
Okay, so it's more about the spacing and the punctuation. Sorry, I was, yes. Okay.
Exactly.
But that too can be an issue that one wants to actually be able to find.
So you can find them using contains, for example. So if you find, if you want to say, if you are not sure about the punctuation, you want to find the punctuation, you can put the partial match, no wildcards, as I mentioned several times, but you can put a part of it, and then the records will be returned. Other
No,
records will
but
be
I'm
returned.
saying actually the opposite. So if, for example, on your first column does not match the third down, right? The third one down with the internal spaces are required. If that is exactly the one I want to find with that doesn't have any spaces when it should have spaces.
So if you have a record in your collection that has exactly this, exactly like it is here without spaces,
Yeah.
then the records will be fine if you provide the exact match. However, if you search for such string, it will not return the records that has spaces and does not have spaces. For those two, you would have to have two separate searches. In the example I'm showing here, the record has space. So this is what we are searching. If you have a record in your collection that instead of space doesn't have the space and you want to match it, then you need to exactly specify how the classification is there to you need to specify exactly the value if you are using the equals operator. Contains, as I said, provides you a little bit more flexibility because it will return other records as well based on the substring of the classification. And the same, it's similar with start with, but it is just searching for the substring starting from the beginning. I see Corey asking about the call number range. This is not in the scope of the search. We are not going to support right now the option larger than and less than. For that, I think would be only the call number browse functionality, inventory, saving instances UIDs, and using those as a way to trigger back edit, for example. But no, the ranges are not supported in here. Any other question? Are those examples that I provided here helpful for you, or it's confusing?
I think that I'm going to have to look at them a little bit longer, but I think that they'll be useful.
So this is the example for Library of Congress classification. The same behavior is for NLM medical classification. The behavior is exactly the same. Case insensitive, leading and trailing spaces are removed. It has to be entire value for equals. The not equal is the opposite of equal operators. Contains, look for any part of the string and find the match. The start, look for a substring from the beginning. And is null or empty defines if the value is, if the property is populated or not. And here is an example for Dewey classification, exact the same. case insensitive living spaces are and trailing are removed. Not equal is the reverse and contains again a search any substring of the of the classification starts with it's a substring from the beginning and is null or empty defines if there is a data in the field or not. And here's some example of the of other classifications. I added the link to the chat for this document. I will also include those in the feature description and in the relevant stories as well. And the last, well, not last, but this is similar for the searching identifiers. It's not a normalized search. Again, this is what I mentioned, case insensitive and living and trading spaces are removed. If there is additional space added, like in here example, I have two spaces, then the match is not found. If there is just one space, it's not found either. And also the partial is not found for equals. However, it will be found for contains. And the starts with provide a little bit more functionality as well. And this was for a Library of Congress a control number and all CLC identifier the same. Any comments? We have 20, 21, 19 minutes left in the meeting. I'm pretty sure we will not get to those two last bullets. I would like to spend some time talking about 18 months roadmap for bulk edit. Unless Kathleen and Jennifer, you would like to have some time to talk about your parts of the agenda.
Magda, I saw that it was a really full agenda, so I think, putting aside the implementation topics is fine. I definitely love to hear what's on the roadmap.
Okay, thank you. Kathleen, are you okay as well if I grab the rest of the time?
Yep, absolutely.
Thank you. So here is the slides. I will share the link. I put them. Well, let me see if I put them here. Anyway, I will share the link to the presentation after the meeting. And in the meantime, let's do the overview. So this is where we are with bulk edit. We have 35 features completed. Three are currently in progress. There are 39 features remaining. 27 out of them are to support new data. 11 is from non-inventory, 16 is for inventory-related data. Three features are related for job scheduling, five for bulk deleting, and other for other bulk edit enhancements. So after 3 years of working on bulk edit, we are not even halfway through. So to see what needs to happen that bulk edit meets more needs and covers more functionality that is needed for portfolio users. I have identified three areas that we need to concentrate on. One, to enable scheduling of bulk edit jobs. The next one is su expand support of the additional record types. And that would be courses, electronic resources, orders, users, and vendors, and additional fields that are already in the records that are already supported, but record types that are already supported, but not covered by bulk edit. And everybody asks about bulk deletion. So those are the three areas I would like to concentrate in the next 18 months. So this is the proposed timeline. I especially removed releases because those releases tend to change the date change, and I would like, oops, and I wanted to have the clear vision of what we are going to do in the next 18 months. So between June and end of the year, I would like us to concentrate on the work related to scheduling bulk edit. That will eliminate the need of you sitting and staring at the screen and very slowly moving progress bar. That will help you to schedule the job and run it outside the regular business hours. The creating of and managing of bulk edit profiles, this is the first step that is needed for scheduling, and this is, as you know, is in progress. Then we will work on the core functionality of scheduling job, what you need to do to create the schedule. We will also include the tokenizing of edit profiles, bulk edit profiles, so that some data can be replaced with variables. Hopefully, we will be able to provide canceling bulk edit jobs. This is, as you know, the stretch goal. That just to provide a way for you to kill the job that takes too long for you. And before December, we would like to start working on the requirements for UX Prop 1498. And the UX Prop 1498 is something like a magic solution to many of our problems, so to speak. And we want to build a framework that will help to generate bulk edit form based on user-defined configuration. So that means that instead of us going through record by record, we will be able to create a configuration that will decide what record types bulk edit should report, what fields should be included, what are the operations that will be available for the field, and what are expected values if there are limitations. And then everything, it will be following the existing flow, review of matching records, making changes through the form ad hoc or by using the profile, and then previewing the changes, committing the changes. If we do this right, as you see, we have half a year to implement that. It will probably address the issues mentioned in 12 different features. So if everything goes well, we have with one feature provide solution for 12 other features. In the second part of the next year, I would like us to concentrate on bulk delete. It's something that is being asked over and over. And with the user records, inventory instance records, and SRS records, and holding seconds and items. And those two stars that are mentioned here maybe give us an option to implement setting records as deleted, something that was implemented in inventory in Sunflower. We have two stories in our backlog for Trillium. If we are able to do them, then those two features, the bulk delete inventory instance records and bulk delete SRS records, will not be needed and will be deleting of instance records and SRS records will be a part of the Trillium release. Any questions about the plan? Any comments? Go ahead.
So I have two questions. One is about UX prod 429 bulk edit canceling bulk edit jobs stretch goal. Does that mean if I kill it in the middle of it that it will have already performed the edit work up to that point? And then does that have a report out so I know, okay, these records already were done. I just stopped it.
So it obviously depends on in what stage you will you kill the job. If you kill the job in when you are retrieving the records, then obviously there is no impact, no changes. If you cancel the job while previewing the changes, so for example, it takes for a very long time to populate the preview. That's again, no changes to underlying records. If the update job takes very, very long time and then you decide it takes too long and some of the records were updated, then we will provide information with the record identifiers so you know which one were updated.
Okay, right.
And
So I
if
guess that it was that last scenario that I was thinking, like within the five colleges, for example, I set off a job and I'm hogging the system and slowing everything down, and everybody is going, Sarah, what are you doing? And it's an hour later, and then I stop it. Then I would get some kind of report out that of my 10,000, 2,000 had already been updated or something like
And you will have the list of identifiers. Those are the
that.
records that were updated. And then you can, revert the changes by reversing if you want to. But yeah, we will provide the information which record were updated. However, we will not provide an automatic way of reverting the changes.
Right. Okay. And then my second question is about the third column, the bulk delete. Are they in a specific order here? I would have, for example, I would have expected it like bulk delete user records to be kind of on its own and then it to work from the bottom up more like then like is the listing showing any kind of priority or any
Yes,
kind of planning?
it's not ra it's not random. So the reason for the order is that bulk delete of user records has been implemented in a robust way and in user records. It's unfortunately not the case for deleting holdings and item records where most of the dependencies are not handled. And if they are handled, they are handled only in the UI, inventory UI. They are not handled on the API level. So this will require a lot of work on our side to handle dependencies. Because, when you delete one record in inventory that has dependencies not resolved, it's bad. But if you delete hundreds or thousands of records, it can be really very easily to lead to data corruption. So this is the order we will concentrate. We will start with the user records because we have a good base APIs built for user records. We will need to come up with some solution for handling holdings and item records dependencies before we start working on bulk deleting them.
So, and that's specifically what I was interested in was the why item was at the bottom and holdings and so forth. So one thing that was in the system we used to have that I really, really appreciated and used a lot was you could run the whole thing as a, without actually, I forget what the word was, but you could run the whole thing without having it actually take action. And so, and then it would give out you out a report, and it would tell you which records, which items, for example, which holdings had dependencies. And then I often use that to for other purposes to figure things out. And that was really handy to have. And then also what you could do is you would get that out, you could remove all of those records from your input file to deal with separately, and then just put back the ones that had no dependency and run them through the bulk. I mean, it wasn't called bulk, but basically the same thing, right? And then just deal with the other ones one by one. Or our system also had a way where you, on the back end, I could contact our system administrator for the five colleges, and we would co coordinate it. And he could flip a switch. I could put my file in real quick. It would run, and he would flip it back. And it would allow for those ones with dependencies to be deleted nevertheless, right? Like that was controllable that way. I'm not saying we necessarily need that, but I'm just saying, these things do exist or did exist. But having that report out to see what things do have in de dependencies was super helpful.
That's very good feedback, Sarah. Thank you very much. We can we that probably can be also a part of lists application that you, I don't know, it is just on a very high level how we would implement that. We did some discussion. We had some discussion with Solution Architect maybe a couple of years ago, but because of the priorities, it was never implemented. I think we will be talking about this deleting records at the beginning of next year when I will be gathering the feedback. But that was very helpful, Sarah. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments regarding the proposed timeline? Before I move to another slide, I just want to mention that if you are looking at the tickets, they don't have the release specified because, as I said, the releases tend to change, and I wanted to have a calendar year point of view. I will update our high level roadmap on the bulk edit, but this is just for you so you know where we are. And here are the risk and mitigation that we have for the proposed plan. So this magic solution for our problems with missing data, UX Prod 4998, is significant with potential for missed requirements and technical infeasibility. So the way we are going to approach it, I will be starting probably in September, working intensively on defining the requirements. What are the needs for the what are the needs for the fields? What we need to pay attention to? So you will hear more from me in the at the end of the year. Also, the solution architect will be involved very early to find the possible technical issues. And if we realize that there are no there is no way to implement 4998, we will switch to address the features, at least those that are compared with other ISS. And the risk number two is the deletion of folio is not fully reliable for many records. This is what we are talking, we were talking about how we are going to implement. There was an initiative a couple of years ago, how to approach folio-wide deletion. This is what we may resume. And risk number three, it's the team's capacity. Our team has not only bulk edit responsibility, but our PMH data export as well. So we are lucky because we don't have major issues with those applications, but if anything changes, that it will affect the scope. And so if everything goes well, at the end of 2026, I believe the core functionality will be implemented. The framework will be available for further expansion by other teams. And there will be remaining functionality that will need to be addressed on available resources, and that will be expert tools, something that comes frequently, like a support of regular expression in bulk editing, sorting and filtering before editing. Bulk move of items from one items record from one holdings to another, and overriding protected fields. And that's it. We are on top of the hour. I did a lot of talking today. If you have any concerns, questions, or feedback to what we covered, please feel free to reach out directly to me or in the Bella Slack channel. Thank you very much, and have a good rest of your day.
Thanks, Magda.
Thank
Thank you,
you.
Magda. Bye,
bye bye.
folks.